Good morning. It is a privilege for us to gather this morning to worship together. I want to draw your attention to a few things. You'll find in your bulletin a connection card. We invite you, whether it's the first time you're visiting First Baptist or if you've been here a lot, to fill that in. There are options on the back for ways to dig deeper, next steps. We invite you to take some time to fill that in, and then when the offering plate comes by later in the service, you can place it in the offering plate. A few things to know about today is that today is the last day for the can drive, the pop can drive, for our youth. They are going on a mission trip. We'll hear more about that later this morning. But we let you know that now because there will be nobody to return the cans. So thank you for bringing the cans. Today is the last day, and it was a good fundraiser, yes? Yeah, so thank you for bringing your cans here. It is also the last Sunday for our church school programming in that second hour time. So it's the last day for the kiddos and the last day for the grown-ups. For the school year, we'll have things going on this summer, and then we'll start back up again in the fall. And one last thing about this morning is we're going to have lemonade on the lawn again today. That will happen a couple of times this summer with activities for families with kids outside, but we invite everybody to come. There'll be lemonade and some iced tea and some goodies. There will also be goodies and coffee downstairs. So both places are an option. We hope that you will stay after worship to spend some time with one another. So now we gather together to praise God's name, to retell the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection as we celebrate communion, and to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. May we receive the love and express our love back as we worship together in prayer, in story, and in song.
If you are able, please stand for the invocation. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here on this beautiful Sunday morning to worship in your glory. We pray that you give each of us here the strength, patience, and guidance we need to fulfill your teachings today and every day. Help us to feel your presence here today and bless this congregation as we worship in your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord in the heights.
Praise God, all the angels.
Praise God, sun and moon. Praise God, all you shining stars.
Praise God, you highest heavens, you waters above the heavens.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth. Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name alone is exalted, whose glory is above earth and heaven.
Praise the Lord.
First reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. God the Father, we come before you today as we are. Thank you for meeting us as we are. We seek to be in tune with you. Forgive us for the times we have missed the mark, for the things we have said and done, and for the things we have left undone. We need more of you. God the Son, we thank you for those who guide us, parents, teachers, supervisors, coaches. As a potter works with clay, mold us into your image. May we be continually learning about what your kingdom looks like. Help us to surround ourselves with others who help us be all that you have created us to be. God, the Holy Spirit, we remember the barriers that the teens shared last Sunday, the barriers that get in the way of experiencing and expressing God's love. Race, social class, intelligence, appearance, sexual orientation, gender identity. We commit to overcoming these barriers, and we ask you to increase the fruit of individuals and groups in our community who are working to break down those barriers. For Hope Clinic, Religious Action for Affordable Housing, 12-step groups, LaRon Williams, Ground Cover, educators, Interfaith Council for Peace and Justice, and the teens and adults of our church who will be going on their mission trip soon. May we be your voice of love and radical welcome. Trusting in your love and care, we pray for those who are on our hearts and minds today. We pray for Kay, Barb, and Bob, for Felicia McDonald, for Jim Terrace, Jim Johnson, for the Jones family, John Wallace, Tony, the family of Joyce Donachie, for Sarah Curtis and baby Caroline, for Kim and Jason Weaver, we pray for Jerry Reese, Nancy Rushton, Helen Louise Bowser, Bill and Jenny McKeachy, Juanita Dearly, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Ethan Wright, Wally Jordan, Saw Charlie, Logan Sweet, Paul Ferrari, Dottie Kassler, and Jody Wilt. We lift up those to you now in silence. May each person named aloud and in our hearts know your healing touch in their physical bodies, in their minds, and in their spirits. May your kingdom come. Amen.
Will you stand with me for the proclamation of our gospel? This is the gospel according to John. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus looked up into heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify the Son so that he may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And now, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The word of the Lord. You may be seated, and now I invite the children forward for Time as Children with Zan. Who can tell me what it means to pray? What is praying? What is praying? What does it mean to pray? To honor God's name. Okay.
Talking to God.
To ask God for help.
To pray is to pray.
What are some things we pray for? You said we talk to God. We honor God's name. What are some things we pray about?
People who are sick.
Help doing things.
So we pray for people who are sick or who are struggling. We pray for help for things. Yeah. These are all different ways of talking with God. And you know what? Another part of praying is listening to God. So we pray for many things, and we do some praising. And like Katarina said, honoring God's name. And if you heard the words, the choir just sang, to the master of music, to the Lord of the world, to the maker of movement, to the builder, designer, creator. That's praising God's name. So that's part of it. And then we talk about also thinking about other people. So you kids are going to have a really important job over the next 2 weeks. You're going to be prayer partners. The prayer partners for the teens and the adults who are going on their mission trip. So you have a big responsibility. You're going to be paired up with one of those teens and the adults, and when they go on their trip to North Dakota to be a light in the world, we're going to pray for them. You're going to think about them. Maybe when you first wake up, you'll think, oh, I'm going to pray for Sam. Or maybe when you're heading to bed, you'll think, oh, it's time to pray for Stacy. What kind of things do you think we might pray for people who are going on a trip to help others? Going on a big trip, they're going to go on an airplane. What kind of things might we pray for? That the help that they're giving is good help to receive, good. That they have safe travel. We might pray that they experience God in a new way while they're helping others. Yeah. You might pray for the adults, that all the logistics go smoothly, that there are no surprises. Yeah. And that they have a good time, that they experience God and they're able to show God's love. So, you have an important responsibility. Do you remember what you're called? A prayer what? Do you remember that other word? Partner. We're going to be partners with them. We're going to stay here in Ann Arbor, but we're going to pray for them while they're gone. Let's pray together now before we go off to Sunday school. Dear God, we thank you that we can be partners with those who go from our church to be a light in other places. We thank you for these kiddos who are going to be praying for the teens and the adults on their trip. God, we ask that you would show up in big ways in the prayers' lives and the ones who are being prayed for. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Will you pray with me? Blessed are you, O Lord our God, creator of the universe. Awaken us now with the light of your love, that we may bear the beams of that love into your world. Amen. Last Sunday, we heard the story of the birthday of the church. It was the story of Pentecost, the day the Holy Spirit was poured out on the first followers of Jesus, birthing them into the world with the power to bless the world with news of God's love. This morning, a little bit ago, we heard the story of the birthday of the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. There is beautiful, poetic resonance between the story of our Genesis found in the scriptures and the story of science about the birth of the universe. The story from science says it starts with the primordial singularity we call the Big Bang, that point in history where the universe came into existence out of nothing. Let there be light, and a chain of chemical reactions was set into motion. All the elements that form the earth and everything in it, including us, born in the heart of ancient stars, dying stars. In reflecting on this reality, Carl Sagan once said, "We are a way for the universe to know itself. Some part of our being knows this is where we came from, and we long to return. We are made of star stuff." This longing for reunion, this longing to return to our origin, this longing the psalmist articulates as a need to praise, a lifting up of life and being in grateful recognition of Creator. "Praise the Lord," he bids the universe. "Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling God's command, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, young men and women alike, old and young together. Praise the Lord." Now, Psalm 150, which is the last psalm in the entire Psalter, extends the call to praise to everything that breathes. But this psalm, Psalm 148, pushes it even further, calling for praise from everything that is, breathing or not, animate or inanimate, every created thing. The psalmist points to this breathtaking reality that praise is intrinsic to the structure of all creation. Of course, the fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind and flying birds, the supernova, the great coral reef, the cedar trees, the hummingbird. They all praise God and show forth the beauty of God's creative love simply by being what they were created to be. Their very existence testifies to God's goodness. We humans are the ones that fall out of sync. And so, our story says, not long after the beginning of the world, God saw that humans were bent towards conflict, towards selfishness, towards horrible violence. They were not becoming what they were created to be. They hurt each other. They hurt the creation that had been entrusted to their care. And so the story says, the Lord was sorry to have created it all. And God was grieved. And God tried to wipe the slate clean with a flood. And afterwards, God made a promise to Noah. Actually, it wasn't just to Noah. In the first covenant, in the whole Bible, in Genesis 9, this promise from God, an unconditional promise, is not just between God and human beings. It explicitly includes every living creature and even, it says, the earth itself. God so loved the world, the whole world. But we can barely get along with one another, let alone with the dandelions and the deer and the ants and the polar ice caps. In Christian theology, we have a doctrine that is as difficult to get our minds around as any cosmological principle of physics. We call it the Trinity. The idea that God is three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and also one. Today is the day that the church everywhere celebrates the Trinity. And what we celebrate is a paradox, a mystery. We seem to be saying two opposite things, each of which seems to make the other one impossible to be true at the same time. God is three, God is one. This paradox, mind-bending as it is not a puzzle to be solved. It is simply a truth we proclaim, a mystery we name. The doctrine of the Trinity is a sign to us that what looks separate is also one. Just as all the matter of the cosmos is flung out in its unfathomable diversity to the edges of all we can imagine, and yet is still all connected, all from the same elements, all originating from stardust. The Trinity confirms oneness is the basic reality, the foundation of all creation. At the same time, the Trinity is a sign to us that reality is also relational, participatory. God is one, but not only one. God is three, and those three are in relationship. God is three, not two, not an either or, not a red or blue, not a binary. God is three, and those three are in relationship. What looks separate is intricately bound. God exists in community with God's self. This, too, is the basic intention for all creation. Reality is relational. The essential connection of creator and creation, and of creation with itself. This is the foundational truth of all reality. But it's a truth we humans have ruptured in every way we know how. We break the connection with God, with ourselves, with each other, with the good earth. We ignore, forget, defy that we're all connected. Our theological word for that is sin. And Jesus came to break its power. He came as the incarnation of wholeness, the absolute unity of divine and human, the perfect union of infinite and finite, cosmic and earthy, creator and creation. He was star stuff made visible. And more than simply showing us this truth that we are all connected, in his own being, in his life, death, and resurrection, he made this reality alive again. He came as the way for us to be reconciled to our true reality, our true nature. He came to give eternal life, which on the last night of his life he described in prayer like this. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one God. Eternal life is not a mere continuation of our current timeline. It is life greater than time itself. It is knowing God now. Eternal life is now, and that now deepens and expands beyond an understanding of time that is merely past, present, and future. Eternal life is to know the eternal God, to begin to experience the depth dimension of life connected to our Creator, to live now in awareness of and in growing intimacy with God. On that last night, on the eve of his death, Jesus said those words in prayer. He was modeling the very intimacy, the connection that we yearn for, reminding us again that we were created for this. And as a part of his prayer, he also prayed this. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. Jesus, no longer physically present in the world, meant for his followers, those who had witnessed and experienced the unifying reality of divine love, he meant for them to now become the physical or incarnation of God's love for the whole world. We too are witnesses. People who have caught sight of the truth that God's love is for the whole world and has been revealed in the way Jesus lived and died and was raised. People who have dared to trust that this love is the foundational reality, that Jesus and God are one, begin to experience the truth that we also are one. One with God, one with each other, one with all creation. Our world is hungry for this truth, whether they know it or not. We are all of us, you and me and everyone we know, we are all of us trying to make our way forward from fracture to wholeness, from alienation to harmony, from conflict to connection, from suspicion to trust, from violence to peace, from shame to self-worth, from fear to joy. We are all trying to make our way forward to a hope we barely have words for. What we yearn for is for the whole-making oneness from which we came. The mystery Jesus prayed, The mystery we celebrate in the Trinity is that this wholeness is not just some hoped for future. It has been given now, the eternal now, the eternal life Jesus came to share, the knowing of God, the praising of God, the learning of God together, the living and humble, loving relationship with all creation, honoring one another, honoring all that has been created, because we are all connected to God and in God. We do not, by our human power, secure, create, or achieve this healing, reconciling love. It has been done, and we witness it, and we witness to it, and we base our lives on it, and we live accordingly, and we, like Jesus, together begin to exist as a sign of that one love. And we rise up in praise, and we rise up to bless the world. One more story of the beginning of the world. An old Hasidic Jewish tale called The Birthday of the World tells it like this. In the beginning, there was only the holy darkness, the Ein Sof, the source of life. In the course of history, at a moment in time, this world, the world of a thousand things, emerged from the heart of the holy darkness as a great ray of light. And then, perhaps because this is a Jewish story, there was an accident. And the vessels containing the light of the world, the wholeness of the world, broke. The wholeness of the world, the light of the world, was scattered into a thousand fragments of light. And they fell into all events and into all people, where they remain deeply hidden until this day. Now, according to this story, the whole human race is a response to this accident of the broken vessels of light. And we are here because we are born with the capacity to find the hidden light in all events and in all people, to lift it up and to make it visible once again, and to thereby restore the innate wholeness of this world. In Hebrew, they call this Tikkun Olam, the restoration of the world. And we who are Christian call the name of the light Jesus. And you and I were made for nothing less than this, to lift up the light we have and bless the world. Knowing our place in the world, knowing our place in the one love of God, how can we not respond with love, with gratitude, with generosity, and with joy?
This bread, too, contains within it the elements of the universe, the elements that are in us. When Jesus was among us, he said, "I am the bread. I am the bread of life. I am the bread from heaven." We share one bread. We become one body, and all are invited to receive. We make ourselves ready now by praying together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Will you stand? As forgiven and reconciled and beloved children of God, let us offer one another signs of peace and reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you. Let's join our hearts in prayer in the words that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, God formed us in his image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, God's love remained steadfast. In love, God gave us his only Son, Jesus Christ. By his suffering, death, and resurrection, God gave birth to the church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and by the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." body of Christ, the bread of heaven. In the same way, after the meal, Jesus took the cup, and he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup which we have received in gratitude. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. On the Sundays we celebrate communion, we also receive a special offering we call the fellowship offering. This morning's special fellowship offering goes to the one great hour of sharing. This is a multi-denominational opportunity to give care in times of critical need, emergency situations throughout the world. This fund is released to help, whether it's flooding or other natural disaster or human disaster, the disaster, economic disasters of poverty and hunger. You can make your fellowship offering on your way out either of the doors. Now, will you stand with me and join in our hymn of fellowship?
Going on the mission trip to North Dakota 1 week from today to come forward. All the way up to the chancel, please. We have 8 youth, 7th through 9th graders, and 5 adults, including me, four adults, and one of whom, by the way, is an astrophysicist, and I have to say, it's always a little intimidating when I try to talk about the origins of the universe, and I know there's an actual specialist listening. You can tell me later what parts I didn't get right. This team is already an awesome team. They've been working together over many months now, not only with raising needed funds for the trip, and thank you to everyone who has helped, especially with cans and bottles and other contributions, but not only with that, but also with getting together to prepare spiritually, emotionally, relationally, and logistically. And also, we've been serving together for many months, really ever since we got back from our last mission trip, and there was a desire within the group to do more than we were already doing to serve right here in Ann Arbor. And since last August, we've been working together with the young adults once a month with the Vespers program here at church. So these kids and parents are ready to serve in a new setting. And we'll be going a week from today to Spirit Lake Nation in North Dakota to work with a United Methodist mission there on the reservation, doing some light construction work and some children's activities and having lots of opportunity for relationship, especially with the children and the elders of the Spirit Lake Nation. And they have, we all have, prayer partners from the children's group, and I'm going to ask the kids to come forward. And do they each have their own prayer? They might, yeah, you want to be paired up. So, team, these kids are going to be praying especially for you in the week that we're away. Yay. Thank you, Zan. All right. So, these kids are each going to have one particular person that they'll be saying prayers for, and we're so grateful for your prayers, and we invite all of your prayers as well for particular people as well as for the whole team. And I'm going to ask if the kids, if you want to either just raise your hand towards your person or just touch them or hold their hand, and then the congregation also, as a sign of the blessing of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, if you would
extend a hand of blessing towards the team, and then we have a response that we say together. We can say it now. We covenant with you and before God to pray for you while you are away, to listen to your stories and ideas when you return, and to participate with you in God's mission in the days ahead. Amen. Thank you, and thank you. And all of you can be seated. And now receive the benediction. It is in the one God that we live and move and have our being. Within us, may God also live and move and have being. And may God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit bless us and fill us and use us as light for this world, that all creation may move toward this one love. Go in peace. Amen.